Sometimes it's obvious who the bad guy is, isn't it? The character in the story who's got no redeeming qualities, none. The one who is only out for themselves, who wants to win at any cost. The one for whom the end justifies the means, and the end is whatever it is they want, and the means is whatever it takes for them to get what they want. That's the kind of bad guy that we love to hate. I'd say Herod is one of those bad guys, particularly in today's story. He's deeply insecure. He's threatened by the mere possibility of a new king. He seems terrified at the thought of losing any of the control and power and prestige and privilege that he enjoys so much as the king. He's jealous and afraid of a child, a baby. And so with all of that fear and dread and anxiety and anger energizing him, he schemes and he lies and he maneuvers to get what he wants. He is the embodiment of deceit and manipulation. And then there are the Magi, the wise men, the three kings. Actually, as I think Joyce alluded to, we don't know for sure how many of them there were. And it's very likely that they weren't kings. Whoever they were, and however many of them there were, they were likely astronomers, since they appeared in Jerusalem because they had been following a star, some sort of unusual, brilliant, noteworthy star, and it had led them there. So particularly in contrast to Herod, it's easy to understand these guys as the good guys of the story, right? There's an air of curiosity about them and a semblance, and I would have thought maybe more of this before the Christmas Eve description of them, but a semblance of honesty to them. They seem to be patient, already having made a very long journey to get from where they had come from all the way to Jerusalem. And I would say that they exhibit some degree of humility as well, since they're anticipating bowing down to a new king, to someone other than themselves. We could also use words such as devout and learned, educated, to describe them. And I would say these are traits that support the idea, the characterization of them as the good guys in the story. So in today's story, there's a really bad guy, King Herod. And there are some pretty good guys, the Magi. And by the way, I read several commentaries over this past week that explicitly mentioned the lack of historical clarity and scholarly agreement around not only the number of people that were in this caravan that appeared in Jerusalem, but also the gender, stating that it was more common than not that a large group would be traveling together, comprised of men and women alike. And I share that in anticipation of this question that I'm about to ask. With which character or characters in this story do you resonate? Obviously, it's the Magi, right? The good guys. And we can even expand that to include whoever might have been traveling with them. Young, old, male, female, maybe even some non-binary folks, but all of them honest, curious, patient, humble, devout, educated, although perhaps to differing degrees within the group. Those are the ones with whom I resonate. Obviously not with the bad guy, not with the one who is insecure and terrified and threatened by a baby. In no way do I resonate with Herod's all-consuming jealousy and fear, nor with his motivation by anger and anxiety. I cannot imagine doing what he did, scheming, manipulating, lying to get what I want, to keep the control that I have, to hold on to my power and privilege. Thanks be to God, I do not resonate with Herod. Not to mention, it was the Magi to whom God had spoken. It was to the Magi that God had revealed that there was something really, really special happening. It was to the Magi that God had disclosed the impending fulfillment of this promise that was thousands of years old, of a Savior. It was to the Magi, the good guys, that God had communicated, right? Or was it? Yes, God had revealed to the Magi that something really, really wonderful and special was happening. But God made that revelation through a star, something in the sky, a magnificent celestial event. God had communicated to the Magi through something that, at least theoretically, was available to everyone, was accessible to all, was visible to anyone with eyes. God didn't whisper God's revelation directly into the ears of the Magi so that no one else would hear. God didn't disclose the fulfillment of God's promise in a way that only they would understand and no one else. God didn't send them a direct message, a private message with instructions to keep it to themselves. God put a brilliant star in the sky where anyone could see it and follow it. Even Herod. It seems hard to believe, in fact, that Herod didn't see it. I feel like he must have seen it. But even if he saw it, he didn't really see it like the Magi did. He didn't see it with curiosity. He didn't see it with devotion or wonder or awe or humility. He certainly didn't see it as God's amazing and profound and beautiful revelation that something really, really special was happening. It seems that if Herod saw the star at all, and how could he not have seen it, really, based on what we know about it, that he only saw it with eyes that were blinded with fear, not with eyes opened by faith. But it was there. It was there in the sky for anyone to see. God put a brilliant star in the sky to announce the fulfillment of God's thousands of year old promise of a Savior who was coming for all, good guys and bad guys alike. And I don't know about you, but I find that comforting, because as much as I want to boldly and loudly proclaim that I resonate fully and only with the Magi, the good guys, the ones in our story who are curious and devout and educated and patient and humble, the truth that I will quietly and reluctantly confess is that I do also resonate with Herod, the bad guy, and his insecurity and jealousy and anger, and his desire to control, and his fear of losing the power and privilege that he had. I've got the good of the good guys and the bad of the bad guys in me. We all do. But the good news for all of us is that God's promise is for all of us. The coming of God's Savior is for all of us. For all people. God's star in the sky is there for all of us, for everyone to see. It's there for all, period. Regardless of how much of the good or bad we've got in us and that we show in any given moment. Regardless of whether we resonate more with the good guys or the bad guys, regardless of who we are or where we are or how far we've traveled, God's revelation that something really, really special and wonderful and powerful and transformational is happening in the birth of the Christ child is meant for all. God's light announcing the coming of God's kingdom to earth, proclaiming the reign of truth and justice and peace, revealing the love of God made flesh, that light is available to all. Do we have the eyes to see it? Do we have the hearts to follow it? Do we have the courage to live by it? Amen.